Hello, and welcome to a special Markhive Summary episode of Octopod, the Octo Podcast. I'm Nick Wehner, Director of Open Initiatives at Octo, and Project Director for the Markhive Archive of Ocean Conservation and Marine Climate Change Research. Thank you for listening. In this episode, I interview Dr. Mita Tarius about her latest study, and rather extensive study, I should add, called Not Just a Sandy Beach, the Multi-Service Value of Mediterranean Coastal Dunes. You can read Mita's paper for free in the Markhive Archive at markhive.org. As the title suggests, Mita and her co-authors study the ecosystem service benefits provided by coastal dunes along the Italian Adriatic coast, which are part of the Nature 2000 Protected Area Network. In this study, the authors identify ecosystem service indicators to use and the supplies of each of these indicators, settling on climate regulation, protection from wind and aerosols, erosion regulation, recreation and tourism, and finally, the existence value of biodiversity. These results are nicely summarized in Figure 5 of the paper, which is on page 21 of the PDF if you're following along. And without further ado, I'll let Mita take it away.
So my name is Mita Drius. I'm a researcher. I'm working in two different institutes. One is the Department for Botany and Biodiversity Research at the University of Vienna, where I'm currently employed. And I'm also involved in another Interreg project at the Institute for Marine Sciences at National Research Council in Venice, in Italy. Coastal dunes are highly threatened in not only in Italy, but also all over Europe and worldwide. This happened particularly during the last century due to different factors. So there was a general transition into the economy. So of course, from more agricultural economy to the boom of industry and tourism, that led to a drastic reduction into the extent of these habitats. And this happened, as I said, in all over Europe, but it was particularly striking in the southern Mediterranean coast, as in Italy, for instance. So these figures arise because of these factors, practically. And it's a still ongoing process, unless, of course, you know, policymakers and decision makers don't change their mind regarding that. They really need to start thinking more in a sustainable management of our natural sites, because otherwise we will not be able to benefit from them in the future. On one hand, we need them and we are exploiting them also. And on the other hand, we wouldn't be able to have a thriving coastal tourist industry if we wouldn't miss what is the basis for it, which is our coastal dunes and more in general, our natural environment. Dunes are really threatened worldwide, as we said, and in Italy as well. And what is interesting is that they provide plenty of ecosystem services, as we see, and they support coastal tourism. But in the same time, those beneficiaries that take advantage of coastal use are also contributing to the depletion, to the reduction. So we really need to change strategy. We need to maintain the ecological integrity of coastal dunes if we want to benefit also in the perspective of a tourism industry of coastal dunes in the future. This study starts from different data that I collected during my PhD, which started in 2012 and ended in 2016. And so last year, we decided that it was really a good time to put our hands again in my data and finally come to a very comprehensive publication of all the different work and research activities I perform doing my doctorate. So that explains the very multivariate and multiple nature of this study, if I can call it like that. I have to point out first that we took into account the conservation sites of the so-called Natura 2000 network, which is a connectivity network of valuable sites that was established all over Europe. So the data that are available now in this paper are related to those sites only. So of course, there might be sites that are still available but are not covered by these natural protected areas. And this is really important to point out before I say this. So this considered, we could see that there is a great amount of special variation in in our study area. There are regions in which there is a scarcity of protected areas, and the extent of the dune habitats that we consider is really small, really negligible. While there are other regions in which the policy, the conservation policy was more careful, and they have a very good and established network of protected areas. And this is also reflected in the ecosystem service values. So we came out in the end, we prepared a multi-service map that tried to synthesize the ecosystem service multiple value for each Natura 2000 site. And through this, we could show that there are areas that are really more valuable than others. Yeah, so it is a kind of qualitative assessment, because it tried to synthesize data that are coming from very different sources. But I think it's a really good example for a management of a site to understand how well his site is doing. Particularly for one service, we made use of information that is freely available at national and also supranational levels. So talking about Europe and European Union and more in details, as I said, there is this Natura 2000 sites network, which was established in the 90s and then later in over the 2000s. So it's still a quite recent network of protected areas that includes valuable sites and valuable habitats of conservation interest. Each member state in the European Union is obliged to monitor the conservation status of these sites and to report on it every 6 years. And the data, at least regarding conservation status and the extent of the habitats, are freely, as I said, freely available, freely downloadable for the portal on each of each member state. I cannot say the same regarding other services. For instance, for the carbon stock, there is really, really scarce information regarding coastal dunes. In that sense, I think that maybe an extra study might be needed, but the extra study might still take our values as a reference point. So we performed a survey based on open questionnaires that we handed to visitors to coastal sites in central Italy. And we did this repeatedly for 3 years so that we could have a very good sample size to perform statistical analysis. We were interested in different aspects of coastal dunes. And then for this particular study, we picked only those aspects that could reply to the question, how important are coastal features for you as a visitor? Which value would you assign to coastal dunes? So to do this, we prepared quite long questionnaire that we handed to the visitors and to the tourists. And we already got some very interesting results, seeing that the different coastal features had all a very high value for visitors, but still there was a slight difference between the pine trees and dune vegetation and so on. So this part would cover practically the cultural service called the existent value of biodiversity and recreation and tourists mostly. We use data from different sources, as I mentioned. So for regulating services, we use data from an experimental study that I did during my doctorate that aimed at having or obtaining an inventory of carbon values for all the dune sites that are in the same study area that we use in this publication. And this covered the climate regulation service. Then, for the other two regulating services, we use data from different literature sources, and particularly we wanted to take into account and highlight how many of the four habitats that we consider are present in each site and what is the extent of each of these habitats. And we combine this with a weighing factor. I don't enter so much into detail with this particular aspect, so that we could have in the end a unified value for the mitigation of coastal erosion and for the protection from wind and aerosol. In other words, it's the presence of a particular habitat that enhances the value of a certain site for a certain service, but it's also the presence of all the other habitats that helps stabilizing and enhancing such value. A long series of steps, of course, in order to become to a very synthesized value for each site in the end. I have to say that the Interreg project in which I am involved with the Venetian Institute really helped me a lot in this, because thanks to the communication activities I was involved during last year, I really understood how important is communication in science. So really, this changed a lot my mindset regarding how to simply and effectively pass a message. So that's why also these icons really turn out very nice and well, in my opinion, too. Yeah. It took all in all a year of work. There were, three institutes involved. And in terms of expertise, I would say that there was a GIS expert that really supported a lot with the map preparation, and a person that is interested in coastal tourism, although having a background into ecology. And Lauren Jones is a researcher in the Center for Ecology and Hydrology in the UK, in Bangor, and is a vegetation ecologist. And me and Maria Laura Carranza are also ecologists interested in ecosystem services since years. So all in all, I would say there is a quite nice range of different expertise and backgrounds that are involved, and six people altogether working for more or less a year. At the moment, I'm working in an ecosystem service analysis evaluation in project here in Vienna, so in the open land, in the open habitats of a biosphere reserve that partly surrounds the city of Vienna in Austria. While in for the project that I mentioned at the beginning in Venice, we are investigating the effects and impacts of coastal tourism on the coastal ecosystems more in general. So not only coastal dunes, but all the coastal ecosystems, and what are the implications for sustainable management. But the scale is really different. That scale is Mediterranean, while this project here in Vienna is very, very local.
Thank you for listening to this special Markhive summary episode of the Octopod podcast. For more information on the Markhive Ocean Conservation and Climate Change Research Archive, please visit the Markhive repository at markhive.org. That's markhive.org. Documentation for the Markhive project, including a handy list of self-archiving policies for many popular journals, may be found at markhiveinfo.org. Our intro music is Driven to Success by Scott Holmes, and our outro music is Seeing the Future by Dexter Britton. Subscribe to Octopod wherever you get podcasts. If you like what you've heard, help others discover us by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Markhive and Octopod are brought to you by Octo, accelerating ocean conservation by connecting ocean professionals to the knowledge and networks they need. Learn more and help support our work by making a tax-deductible donation at www.octogroup.org. Special thanks to the David and Lucille Packard Foundation for supporting Markhive, and thank you to everyone who has helped us along the way. Until next time.